Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle of the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? Too deadly. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with deadly brother Nathaniel Edwards, and he's the principal of Radiant Life College down there at Innisfail. Going to talk about the hat he wears there, talk about the college, and yarn about other hats that he does wear, and look, a really active deadly brother. And with that, we got Nathaniel. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good morning, brother. I'm going well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Ah, no problem. So, my name's Nathaniel Edwards, or Jigga Jigga's my skin name. Mm. I'm a Jurabar Bagabara Dugabara man. Yes. I'm from Mamu Nation, south of Cairns. My mother's mother, she's Garan Garan from Bundaberg.
Mm-hmm.
All my life I spent on my grandfather and father's country. Okay. We claim sea country.
Beautiful, brother. Fantastic. And look, big shout out to you, Mob. Thank you very much. Let's talk about Radiant Life College. You're the principal of Radiant Life College. Let's talk about the hat you wear as a principal. Let's talk about how Radiant Life College started. Give us the full picture and how it's operating, and what grades are we talking regarding students doing schooling?
Oh, Trev, where can we start? So, in the early days, my great-grandmother and a local group of worshippers of a local church at the time decided to purchase some land.
Yes.
It was still a time where there was segregation within those religious institutions.
Sure.
Through that...
How long ago are we talking, brother?
We're talking about 1940s.
1940s, yes, okay.
1940s.
Mm-hmm.
Through that, the family came through and started to nurture that property. And on the way, they established positive relationships with black and with white. Yep. And all those in between to have the vision go forward. Out of that, they had a desire to educate the mob, and they thought what a powerful tool education would be for their mob.
Yes.
And through that, they decided to go down the path of establishing an independent school. And the school currently sits on, the property is about 50 acres, surrounded by a wonderful rainforest on Juruba country.
Yeah.
It's the last urban habitat for cassowaries, which is our totem, the Gundoi.
Yep.
And it's just the metaphor we use as mob back on country.
Mm.
It's about that cassowary. It's about, you know, nurturing the chicks. We talk about passing down that knowledge to the next. And we're so proud because it was developed by our mob, for our mob, to serve our mob.
Yes.
Currently,
and
we're
doing the cassowary role in regarding educating these pickaninnies and taking them through the schooling. I'm loving that, brother.
Oh, it is. Mm. It is, and that's what we speak about. And
yes,
through that, we currently cater from P to 10. Everything we do for the children is to approach it as a holistic. Mm. So we know what's important is establishing that connection to country culture. If we don't know our connection, our past, our history, how can we then set off in that right direction?
Yeah.
So having the elders working in, it's that nucleus of the mob family.
Yes.
That's what family should be.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the foundation.
Mm.
And with that strong foundation, brother, you can build an empire upon, not only in regard to Radiant College, Life College, but also the students' vision and future for where they want to be and what they want to do, and helping them become the best that they can be.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And what we pride ourselves is our kids can see themselves within our education.
Yeah.
And that's the powerfulest tool. In my schooling, in my lifetime, I could never see myself in education because I could just see white fellas.
Sure.
But when we have a mandate to train up to educate and then release our Indigenous mob back into the classroom, back into the education setting, it sets forth a precedent of, hey, kids, youth can do this as well. It's showing a pathway for that embedment.
Yeah, beautiful. Love it, brother, love it. To our deadly listeners, they just tuned in, National Tall Black, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry. I have a deadly yarn here with Nathaniel Edwards, principal of Radiant Life College. I go by the name of Jigga Jigga. Is that right, my brother?
That's right.
Jigga Jigga, and like I said, principal of Radiant Life College, and independent artist as well. Let's talk about that hat that you wear, and we're getting artists, and a big shout-out to KIAF, Kansas Digital Art Fair, because you've got an exhibition happening at KIAF this year, 2025. Let's talk about, is this the first time you're doing an exhibition with KIAF? And let's talk about your the moccasins you've been walking in regard to becoming an artist, and you just added that, brother.
Oh, thanks, Trip. Yes, it's a...
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
That's it, brother. And I'm very fortunate that KIAF sent me an invitation to exhibit this year, and I'm very grateful. With this will be my first exhibition at KIAF. I was just, as we know, we're just chatting, I would be the first exhibitor from my dad's mob to exhibit at KIAF.
Whoa, beautiful.
So being the last connections to Bagabara and Juruba country, it's a very proud moment.
Yes.
The artwork, it was a really resounding theme this year for KIAF, a call to action.
Yes.
With that, my mum's side of the family, and I spent a lot of time. My mum's family was taken to Palm Island. My grandfather was born in a jail cell in Townsville, and his mother hit him, and they shipped them off to Palm Island. They all freaked out. He come out light skin. Sandy Man, they would call him.
Sandy Man.
Mm-hmm. Sandy Man. They didn't know what to do. But with those horrendous family traumas, there's beauty within those stories of resilience and perseverance that I was able to collect.
Resilient people we are.
We are, brother. Mm-hmm. And with this exhibition, the Hear No, See No, Speak No, it's been before my eyes since I was a child, and I sat down with my mother and I listened to the stories, and I was able to capture it in a respectful way through imagery. And I personally, not being biased, I felt this artwork really speaks to now.
Sure.
You had a chance to have a look at it.
Yes, very impressed, my brother. Goosebumps on my goosebumps. When we talk about who we are as storytellers, whether we're yarning on radio or delivering a song or shaking leg or playing didge or doing our artwork, and I've already said Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but history is a history. And there's messages in your artwork when we talk about see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And we're talking about mask on a black skin with white paint and the message there before it. Like the shot here of a black person, black male, three bags, and written on the three white bags on this black skin, sugar, flour, tea. Whoa. That's powerful.
Yeah, and that came out, and I remember my grandfather, he always said, the sugar flour tea mentality, those rations.
Yes.
It took us away from the once we, what we had, how we preserved ourselves, and we come reliant on this foreign system, this white man mentality and thinking. And through that, why I decided to go down that path of having faceless models for this was because for too long we have become faceless victims.
True.
We have allowed...
Is the message.
Unfinished history to prescribe itself on ourselves. And that's what if the listener can understand that, we have an unfinished history here. We have an opportunity to write.
Exactly. And we know the yarns in regard to our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters out there, or government, or whoever it is, who are not our people, in regards to that's in the past. Or build a bridge and get over it. You know, and then you look at the likes of, and love and respect to all the families who lost loved ones in regard to Anzac. Lest we forget. The same line for our people to what happened in this country.
It is the same line.
You know?
And Brother Trim, On that note, we talk about, respectfully, the ADF and great men and women of First Nation descent has served.
Thank you.
I have sat there and I heard the story my mother would tell of my great uncle Tommy. He served in World War One, and I sit there and it was so interesting. He gave his life for a notion that all men and women should be free, but yet he was back home. He was bound by the injustice of his own people, but he knew that there was something greater than his own troubles. And he is still buried in France.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the prices that loved ones have paid, dollar value could never be equated.
Exactly. So when you look at that, even, for example, you mentioned dollars. Money is a tool, but there it is. And here we live in this world, financial world, what have you. And you hear that people complain about the amount of money that we black people get. Well, if you look at the atrocity that's been put on us and what has happened in stolen land and stolen wages and what have you, and then the interest on top of that, if you're talking about a real true business platform, the interest on top of that, this government, this country cannot afford to pay back what's owed.
No.
You know, if you're going to look at it that way in regard to complaining about the money, money's a tool, but they were using that tool to be active and to empower our black people and to keep our culture alive. And Australians, all Australians, should embrace what the longest living culture on planet Earth. Use that as a tool, as a marketing tool, if you're in business or as you travel the world. We come from the Big Island. Longest living culture on planet Earth is on the Big Island. Australia, here we are, you know.
Oh, no, that's beautifully said, Trev. And what's so interesting about it, and in my job, I get to see education. I get to see it in a spectrum. And I love that. It should be a spectrum. It should be multifaceted. Where we're talking in higher education, vet industries, or within our primary and secondary schooling. And I always sit back, especially around the dollar value. And I could remember when my mother, and I said this openly, when the reparations for stolen wages, my grandfather... He was in Mount Isa. He worked on a station. Then he came into Innisfail, back on country, to work as a cane cutter. He was valued out. 16 kids, by the way. Eight girls, eight boys.
Yeah, there you go.
And he was valued to only be worth...
One of the AFL team, yeah.
Brother, he had two footy teams.
exactly.
And what it was he was, and I'll say this openly, he was only valued out $14,500 payment.
Yeah.
Worked all his life. And that's less than what someone will receive on Centrelink.
Sure.
I got a second exhibition I'm working on now called The Recompense of Australia's Prior Ethics. And ethics, we talk about governance, we talk about policies that were implemented. And in Queensland in the 1930s, 1940s, it was a common practice that they would pay First Nation people a minimum wage that would equate to 1/8 of a white man's wage. So we're talking about right back then, they were behind the eight ball. And we're talking about intergenerational trauma and poverty. And people say, get over it. And you're sitting there, well, my mob didn't even get half of what your mob were getting.
Yeah, sure.
But yet you're occupying and prospering off our lands.
Sure, yes. Well, exactly. And, sure, built off the back of black people. When we're talking about slavery or under the Act or whatever the case may be, you know. So, look, here we are in the 21st century and we're talking about building bridges here. But to move forward, you've got to understand the past, you know. I mean, as I said, black or white, good or bad, the history is the history. And embrace it. So here you are as a principal of a college. They're then in Innisfail, Mamu Land, Radiant Life College. And then the hat you wear as an artist. And hats off to you, congratulations. First exhibition with KIAF, Kensington's Art Fair. And then I'm looking at your work and it speaks volumes in regard to who we are and what we've been through and what have you. But the stories need to be told. And if the penny hasn't dropped to whoever we're showcasing your artwork to, then, yep, pick up what we're putting down. There's the education. We are students for life, and accepting when we talk about like racism, for example, you're not born racist.
No.
You know what I mean? So we need to stamp that out. And black successes, like I said, not only on the football field, but all facets, all industry. And we were professors in all industries, if you look at it.
We were.
60,000 years. So whether it be trading, you know, with no tariff in the canoe going across, you know, to Fiji or whatever the case may be, you know. So proactive in all facets. My brother Nathaniel, good yarning with you. And thank you so very much for preschool to grade 10. And after that, the students then college go off to high schools or university from there on.
Yes.
So is there vision to go right through grade 12? Or
There is vision. Mm-hmm. Currently, we'll have a look into that. But we have started to build some positive relationships with other schools that accommodate, but they fit within our ethos and our culture.
Sure.
That's one of the things we want to make sure that the kids are transitioning to a culturally appropriate space of learning, and those supports are in place. We still support our students that have departed. Mm-hmm. We believe that it doesn't stop there.
Lovely, beautiful.
We're family.
Yep, exactly. Family, always come home. So when we're talking Radiant Life College and we're talking First Nation Indigenous Run, so then we're talking culture, we're also talking Christianity.
Mm.
Hand in one.
Hand in one. Mm. And it's always a vicarious subject,
sure.
Culture and Christianity.
Hence my question, yes, brother.
Mm. And where does one line start and the other begin?
Mm.
With us, we were very fortunate to our family. Well, there's a story of first contact with missionaries, and there's also through that, the family's generations now have been part of a Pentecostal system.
Yes.
And that's from coming from the Hennaways, coming from Uncle Jack. It's coming from the Briscoe families as well, the Walkers, Annie Jennett.
Yes.
All of them were part of that move, part of that walk with us.
Mm.
And one thing we realise, and we've got to be honest here, our mob, they weren't allowed to hear it, see it, or practice it within the missions. My grandmother was removed, taken up to Mona Mona Station.
Mm.
She told a story. My grandmother lived to, she was 84 and passed away just over 10 years ago.
Mm.
The story she told as a young girl that the missionaries took her up there. She had to be, think, act white. She had to serve the master's house.
With that black skin.
With that black skin. She told the story that her and another young girl had to clean the master's house, and he made them clean it in their chalanas, naked.
Mm. Mm.
And this is religious. This is a religious institution here. I always tell people this. I have nothing against faith. I think we need something to ground us and stabilize us. But sometimes the institution can be overrun with ideas and get very hands-on with what men desire.
Well, people have abused that beautiful vehicle when we're talking about dear Lord Jesus, what have you, and for wrong reasons, you know what I mean? And continue, brother,
But we look at it now, we go, and I said, Mum, Dad, they're both ministers. And I asked, how come back in the days you weren't allowed to use the instrument? And they said, because the white system said it was all demonic, the didgeridoo, or the way we danced. And I said, but isn't it somewhere in Scripture where it says, every tongue on earth, every nation shall praise him?
Mm.
I said, but it doesn't say he excludes for Aboriginals.
Yeah, thank you.
So where did that come into play?
Thank you. Whoever you worship, whoever your God is, what have you, I say God's gift to you is life.
Mm.
What you do with that life is your gift to God. Live your life to that level, being true to that person in the mirror, you know. And Radiant Life College is what is taught, is what I'm picking up, my brother. I'm feeling goosebumps here. And it's powerful, and congratulations. And 1940s when the block of land was bought and what have you, and here we have now Radiant Life College. When did the school actually open? When did it start as such, or was it began as a church?
So it began as a church.
Yep, okay.
And from there, Uncle Jack Briscoe and Auntie Pam, with the elders and the community, wanted to start a school. So it started for a while under Radiant Life Acres, and then Auntie Pam and Uncle Jack came up to Kansas to start Emmanuel College.
Yep, Emmanuel
that
College.
Time. Yeah.
Okay.
So it went dormant. And then Dad sat back and he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, let's recommence the school. Let's and through that journey. And Dad said something interesting. Dad said, you know, God will bring those for a reason or a season into your life. And I saw that through the journey of reestablishing the school. People come for a season because they had that skill set. Dad said, I might not have all the skill set here, but I put my trust in him. And through that, we met incredible people, incredible organizations to assist us.
And that's God's work.
And that is God's work.
And our ancestors working from the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, brother?
And but what I loved was Dad always said, the vision belongs to us.
Beautiful.
You are here to enhance, to serve the vision. You're not here with
Bring it to fruition.
Yes. Because Dad said for too long, you would see white men come with white man savior mentality. I'm here to save the black fellas.
Thank you.
Dad said,
the solution to your problems.
Dad said, no. We don't need saving.
Not the Tal Wagner dog.
Yeah. We're here to build an authentic relationship as equals. And maybe I can teach you something that you lack.
Yep.
So that's how we have learned to be raised, and that's how we walk our life in all areas of business we do.
Good. Brother, you got a web page there for Radiant Life College?
Yes, brother.
And can students apply to be in college across the board?
Across the board. Currently, we don't do boarding. Here's a blessing. I'm out capacity at the moment, Trevor.
Okay, good news.
Good news. Yeah. I'm out full
good
capacity.
Problem.
And for the mob up in the islands, I always get the phone call because they always say, oh, Pastor Anthony, the school, he's always telling us. And I'm always like, oh, I've got to start moving towards a boarding facility for the mob because we have been doing for 40, 50 years, the mob, connecting with the islands, connecting up in PNG. And now they know that there's a successful...
Yes.
place where they can send their kids.
Everyone's knocking on your door. Yeah. Stand back, wait your turn, please.
But I always say it's a good thing.
Of course it is.
It just shows that black excellence. It shows that the mob can have the ability to self-determine and pursue the education they want. And that's what I really think Radiant Life is set apart because it was developed, it's owned, operated by mob, for mob.
Black on black.
That's it.
In black. Yeah, love it, brother.
That's it.
Now, you did mention off air quickly before you go, you've got rangers working there as well. And that's not a government funding thing, and it's not a non-profit thing. It's a business entity.
Yes.
And you've got traditional owners working as rangers, but getting paid to do it by the entity.
Yes.
Black entity.
That's it.
Yep.
So we have a look at it. So... the other half of the family decided to move in and establish Gundoy Rangers, Cassowary Rangers.
Okay, big shout out.
Deadly mob. And so what they went down the path to be more commercial. So they went to the fee-for-service model instead of being heavily reliant on federal and state funding. So they do a 75% to 25%, where 25% will come from federal and state funding, and the rest will be generated through services.
Okay.
So, and that again is black excellence. It's business.
Yes.
They learnt too long that, you know, when you got funding that you're reliant on with government, you become a chew toy. We should be able to prescribe our own destiny with our own tool and our own finances.
Yes.
So. Why can't we put in a black invoice?
Sure, exactly.
And
Thank you.
Path.
Fee for services?
That's the path they went to.
Beautiful.
So, you know, it's a credit. They've also gone out and established an independent tourism company.
Sure.
And right now they also house international student tours where they provide culture tours for students. So right now
tourism.
It's unbelievable.
Thank you.
I've got a
12-pronged spear.
Yeah. Brother, you got to be in it to win it. You know, when the fish are biting, you throw all the lines in.
Exactly. We're immediately going to chuck dynamite there. Yeah. You know, shut up. Brother, look, beautiful yarn with you. Thank you very much. We will keep in touch. Congratulations with Radiant Life College. Big shout out to the ministers, the students, and the teachers. Fantastic. And congratulations in regard to CIAF. And I'm on the board with CIAF. So, look, fantastic to look at your work. And can't wait to see your exhibition. And look, thank you for the yarn and keep in touch, my brother, and stay black, stay deadly, and stay strong.
Oh, wonderful, Trev. Thanks so much, brother, for having me. And all the viewers out there, I hope you have a wonderful and deadly day.
Too deadly. Take care, brother.
Cheers.
Good yarn, good yarn. Nathaniel Edwards, his name is, Jigger Jigger. And look, fantastic. Principal of Radiant Life College. Good yarn, a beautiful yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page is BBM987FM. And you are tuned into National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And a big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. You might be too deadly. National Talk Black, yarn up strong.
When the lugs all sailed away from Roebuck Bay that fateful day, the diver on the B-19 was Nakamura. Not yet 21, from the land of the rising sun, his homeland was the island Okinawa. In the deepest holes of the Lacerpede shores, to fulfill the pearling master's goals, went the diver of the B-19, Nakamura. His quest for the lustrous pearl as strong as his love for the beautiful girl he'd quit when he returned to Okinawa. But it's goodbye now, farewell. Say goodbye to Okinawa. For today they'll bury you in West Australia. Tropical squall, then the mercury began to fall. 40 fathoms deep was Nakamura. Set sail, no time to stay, for the storm began to rage, and they pulled to the surface the diver Nakamura. The agony in his eyes, an old Malay man cries, he knows the bends have got young Nakamura. Helplessly they cursed as the diver's lungs near burst, and he died on the deck, the boy from Okinawa. Cemetery in Broome, bearing gifts all deep in gloom, they walked with the body of the diver Nakamura. Headstones face the west, a thousand divers lie at rest, and they're joined today by the boy from Okinawa. But it's goodbye now, farewell, say goodbye to Okinawa. For today they'll bury you in West Australia, and you will never be as one with the land of the rising sun. Sayonara, sayonara, Nakamura.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Thank you.
Deadly track there. That's our original Aboriginal David Quinlan here on your Deadly program. National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana. It's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry. I'm your host for your Deadly program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Looking at what makes headlines today, ABC News investigation into Aboriginal man's death at Eastern Goldfields Regional Prison. Western Australia authorities are investigating a death in custody at a prison in the state's Goldfields. The Department of Justice said the 31-year-old Aboriginal man was found unresponsive in his cell at Eastern Goldfields Regional Prison in Kalgoorlie-Boulder. 600 kilometres east of Perth on Wednesday afternoon. Staff provided first aid to the prisoner until paramedics arrived. A department spokesman said in a statement, the department said the 31-year-old was taken by ambulance to Kalgoorlie Hospital, where he was declared dead. Preliminary reports indicate there were no suspicions. Circumstances, the spokesman said, under WA law, deaths in custody are reportable deaths and are subject to mandatory coronial investigation. The man's death in the 14th in custody in Australia's this year and the fourth to involve an Indigenous prisoner. Academic and human rights advocate Jerry Georgatis said the tragedy spoke to a broader issue. The median age of unnatural deaths in WA prisons is very young for First Nations people. That goes to the very heart of the issue, he says. Statement here, we've got to ask ourselves, how is it that 25, 30-year-olds, or in this case, the 31-year-old, are dying in our prisons while we bloom years of life? And almost 600 Indigenous people have died in custody since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody presented as final report in 1991. So there's work to be done there. That's another issue regarding closing gap. We're talking about the man of black deaths in custody. It is not good, and we do have a situation there big time. This is your daily program. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. 98.7 FM, BBM.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, very good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm very well. I'm good to go, brother?
You good to go. Yes, go ahead, brother.
Brother. The saying is, you know, like a drunken man will speak so... I'll chuck up two phrases you hear around the place and go from there. Yeah, a drunken man will speak a sober man mind. But, brother, what happens when you get sober?
Yeah.
You know, when you get sober, you know, like people like me, drunks, you wait till I go and get pissed up, I'm coming back for you, then you bolt it all up. And being sober, being able to articulate it, that's what we have to do, like in sobriety. Then I have to articulate. And another one is silence is consent. And another one is but mosquito, if you think you're so insignificant, obviously you haven't been to in bed with the mosquito. But I wanted to ring you on Monday, but I learned something after the program was on that I rang Tuesday, but they said you'd be back like today, and that's what I wanted to. And but there's something that you said on the recorded program today, that government listened to this program, and brother, like I'm bouncing this off you too. You know, like when you Google FM, Bama Bipra, you can listen to the recording there. Bama, is that right? Podcast,
Sure. Yeah.
Pre-record.
Yeah,
so that's good. Yeah, that's good. And the man is put down to allegations. But like in 1997, I was in the forgot what year. I had my daughter then, and I was working at the library. And when I was working at the library, I had a master key to open and close 8 libraries. But obviously, I was trusted. And the 4 of the libraries that I was able to do that, because I didn't have a car, was Edmonton, Woree, Monunda, and a city library. I couldn't go far as Babinda or Smithfield or Erigan. I didn't have any car, and I opened it up. And so I was, you could say, the government, they trusted me. And anyway, brother, while I was waiting for that, I was at Bummer Healing, staying then, and we had, we waited till, I was there for a separate reason to then what it was, for drunks, because I was staying in the foot, because it was Luna. But for us, we wanted to go uptown, you wait for a bus at front. I was going to Cairns Career Training, and that's when I got the job at the library.
Yeah.
But while waiting there, somebody come knocks out on my door, and I said, brother. I turned my back to get my papers, and while I was, my back was turned, I got kinget, and I wanted to see consciousness, and blood was everywhere. And I asked the office to ring the coppers at 8 o'clock, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't do that until 3 o'clock. And the scene where the crime happened, they cleaned it up. They covered it up. And there was a death in custody there, brother, from Oregon, my brother-in-law, brother. And on a Saturday, I saw that brother when I went to the dining room. I said, I'll get you some sandwich. I call his sister name. She's watching video. If you want to go and watch video, you can watch international, right? It was Saturday.
Yeah.
And he was sharing the room. And on Sunday, I went to the dining room, and I saw that brother that shared the room. I cut his hair in the shower. I didn't ask why that brother-in-law wasn't there. But anyway, they found his body next door. The healing ward didn't find it next door.
Yeah.
The workers from next door found the body. And that was a death in custody, brother.
Sure.
And I'll go back to this Lion Street one now, brother. There was a death in custody there. And the detective that spoke out of it, I agree with him, not with all the other stuff that he said. But he said that, you know, our own people, I feel like screwed, but they work there, brother. They work there. And they work that thing, you know. And that shouldn't have been happening. That shouldn't have been happening, brother.
Exactly.
And I'm gonna go on Facebook later on. You call it sookbook, but of course, government, listen, I want to get away from this going, what I call a collective consciousness, what they own more, you know, brother. And I'm telling you this now because I'm leading up to on Monday why I wanted to call you, brother.
Yeah.
I feel like crying and I feel like swearing. On Monday, brother, I wanted to call you. Last year, my then 70-year-old, he went with the students from Trinity Bay. He went down to Sydney with Clontarf. He went down to Sydney. Oh, I feel like you the F-40. They backed him down there, brother. They backed my boy down there. And
they backed him.
They're bashing, yeah, the other kids. Anyway, but I'll rewind.
Kids can be cruel.
No, that's poor to think that, brother. That's insulting to me.
Yeah.
But all right. He got sent back early. Not the kids, but why it happened was, when they were at Parramatta. Mr. O'Reilly was the principal, and they had this thing where they said, you know, innocent bystanders, they got power too, you know, brother. They can speak up or they can say things, you know. And anyway, what happened down there, he had these young fellows saying something about these girls, and he stuck up with it. It was something that was honorable. He stuck up with it. They weren't there down there. And I think the thing wrong he done was he put it on video. I think he didn't sort of, you know, anybody else to speak to about it. And they put it on video, and they bash him. And I think they're from well-known families here in Cairns. And anyway, he come back on a Sunday early. They should have sent them kids back. And when he come back, I went at half past something to wait for him. But they came back half an hour early. And when I come back to my address, one of the clock workers was already waiting. I said, oh, well, you didn't have to wait. You could have just dropped him off. But they wanted to pacify me, brother, tone it all down.
Sure.
And they didn't tell me he got bashed. And okay, the main boss come now, and you can network and find that who's a rugby league player like you, brother. And you can find out And he come back and he come, but they never told me that he got bashed my boy.
Well, you got a right to know. And you're the parent.
Sorry, brother.
You got a right to know. You're the parent.
Yeah, brother. And exactly. Okay, I'll rewind them back to what they taught at Parramatta. Then they went to T-Bay, and of course, you know, the 3M's suburb, that is Sunkland Kids, they were there. And my daughter, she got hit king by an half-class boy because she was black, brother. And that's colorism, not fucked. Oh, sorry, brother. That's not racism. Same way with what happened to Bummer Healing and heart disease. Colorism, brother. People, you know, you can white fellas on think they talk about the fairness of... It's not that. There are people that are less fair. It's colorism. And that goes back to that first initial conference of chief minister, if you look at it, that happened in Cook, where he said, we bring up the Afghan kids like white people, we marry them off to white fellows, and that is a euphemism for we keep them in their place, we make them stay their place, exactly. They know their place. And anyway, that's what happened.
I want to talk more on this. This is a very important conversation. I've got another caller. Can you call us back?
Okay, brother, you do that. Okay,
thank you,
brother.
My brother. That's someone there, yarning up strong, and very sentimental yarn there, but we'll catch up with the brother. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. I'm just going to catch up with yarn with Brooke Wundin, artist, language, and specialist in research. Warung Damabang Jendu, We Speak Language is a new sound and video work by artist, language specialist, and researcher Brooke Wundin. So we're going to have a quick yarn to her and talk about this space, which was launched on Thursday, 3rd of April. And we have Brooke there. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please.
Yeah, sure. So, Wawag Naranik Brooke, Warangeti Bagaruk. So, my name is Brooke Wandon.
Yes.
And my country is down south in Melbourne, Nam.
All right. Beautiful. Fantastic. Congratulations. New sound, a video work. By yourself, and it was launched on Thursday just past Melbourne's Federation Square. So tell us about your work and tell us about the vision, the future, what you're looking at doing, sister.
Oh, sure. So last night was such a deadly celebration, and I'm so pleased to be able to make work with my family. So basically, Wurrung Dumbu Nyan Yinu, which translates to We Speak Language, is a family recording, right? So it's me and my cousins learning lingo.
And having yarns.
Having yarns, doing best, you know, to revive our language that's been sleeping for a long time. And so, you know, you get to hear some fun stuff, us giggling, having games. Mm. And then I suppose, you know, a bit more serious because we made some, like, sentences, like poems to the river, to Birarung, because... The Birarung is really important to us mob down south because she is the source of our creation.
Yes. So you're rejuvenating your language, your tongue, ancient oral tradition.
Yeah, that's it. That's
fantastic.
The one.
Beautiful.
I did a bit of study a few years back and I've been feeling really proud and really strong being connected to language, and because, you know, it connects us to country, and I've just been trying to share it with my family as much as I can.
Look, fantastic. And like you said, using it as a vehicle, but like I said, we're storytellers. So there's so much hidden messages in this launch, in this new sound and video. It must be goosebumps stuff, my sister, you know, empowering.
It's pretty deadly. And also, you know, the other thing that's real special is, of course, in Melbourne, and especially in Fed Square, it's all concrete. You know, concrete, skyscrapers, all this city.
Concrete jungle,
busy people walking back and forth, and it's really lovely to have that language talking to the river.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, saying, hey, we remember you. We know you're there. We're still here.
Good.
So that feels real special too.
And so how many involved, when you're talking about cousins and what have you, cousins you grew up with, And that was the yarn back then. And so bringing it to the surface here in 2025 is a powerful thing, sister.
Yeah, so I have about probably 10 cousins in this particular work. I've got a couple of daughters and a little granddaughter too.
Good, get the little ones in there. Yes, yes.
And I have language lessons every week. at Corranderk. So down here, Corranderk is the mish, the old mish, and that feels good too, you know, because we all know around the country those missions were set up to deny our language, but this is our resistance, coming together and speaking lingo on that mission.
So exhibition, how long is it running for?
Yeah, so it's actually over 6 months, which is so fantastic. I'm so pleased because Fez Square is a busy place.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm hoping to educate a lot of different people, like white fellas and black fellas or whoever's there, you know.
So while you're sitting having coffee, having lunch or what have you, you're being educated.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's
and entertained. Look, fantastic. Congratulations. Look, good yarning with you. We've got the news coming up, my sister. But, look, thank you for sharing. And good luck and big shout-out to your family as well, sister. Keep the language alive. Keep your culture alive.
Oh, thank you. So nice to yarn with you.
Take care, Brooke. All the best, darling. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no worries. See ya.
Beautiful yarn. Brooke Wondon, her name is, artist, language specialist and researcher. And look, fantastic. Launched on Thursday, just past Thursday, 3rd of April, Melbourne's Federation Square, there for 6 months. So if you're in Melbourne, you're walking through Melbourne's Federation Square, have a coffee, have lunch, and get educated. Fantastic, Brooke, to her and her beautiful family. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trinity Trevor here, Murray from the Curry, about to sign off. Thank you for your company. Someone give us a call back next week, brother. Let's talk about that space. But, very important yarn there. And thank you for your company, your mob. Stay tuned. News coming up via NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout-out to the NERS team. And thank you for your company, your mob. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Make them what you want.